Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
Alhamdulillah wa kufa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi allazina istafa. ما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فإن آمنوا بمثل ما آمنتم به فقد اهتدوا صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, MashaAllah, we are in the month of Zilhijjah, which is the last month in the Islamic calendar. Historically, one very important incident that occurred in the month of Zilhijjah is the Shahadat, the martyrdom of Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu ta'ala an. In the month of Muharram, of course, we have the demise, the shahadat of Hazrat Umar and also Hazrat Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala an. That is the first month of the Islamic calendar. But in Zilhijjah, we need to also make mention of this great Sahabi, Hazrat Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu ta'ala an, who is also from the Ahl Bayt. It's very, very important as Muslims that we know our history. History is very important. When we look at the Quran, the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will find that in many chapters of the Quran, Allah speaks about the events of the past, mazi. And it goes back all the way to Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, and in fact even before Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. So alhamdulillah, as Muslims, we should be interested in Islamic history. And especially the seerah of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Inshallah ta'ala, if Allah wills, maybe after a few sessions, we want to start the life and the seerah of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, flick through the pages of his beautiful life, 63 years of the seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If Allah wills, his life in Makkah and his life in Medina Munawwara. It is so important that we stay connected. And so part of history is also to know the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Our scholars agree that after Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam, the best people that have walked on the face of this earth, the best community is the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A sahabi. A sahabi means that person who in the state of Iman spent time with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he passed away from dunya also with Iman. He is a sahabi. And so amongst the Sahaba, one great Sahabi is Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. He is also from the Ahl Bayt. And when we say Ahl Bayt, it means the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Unfortunately, we have this fever that comes from Shiism, and we restrict our understanding of who are the Ahl Bayt. Ahl Bayt simply means the family of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Are you not going to consider that young man who is married to your daughter as part of your family? Hai koi yahan? Is there anyone here? Umar, you understand what I'm saying? Is there anyone here who will say that my son-in-law is not a part of my family? Hey, bhai, even the name that is given is son. And closely related to also the mother. There's no parda, in fact, also for the son-in-law to the mother. So not only is Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala and the son-in-law of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, not only is he related in this manner, but he is also the grandson to the auntie of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And from there he becomes a Qurayshi, and he is connected to the forefathers of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he comes from a very noble clan, a noble tribe, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. And he was born 6 years after this very famous occurrence, an event that happened in Arabia. And when Abraha came from Abyssinia, from Yemen, he entered the city of Makkah with the intention to demolish the house of Allah. And this is known as Amul Fil, the year of the elephants, the year of the elephants. Now in those days, the real calculation and dates were remembered by some very special events that had taken place. That's all. And so something happened in Arabia, something very amazing, and everybody was talking about this. Abdul Muttalib was there at that time when Abraha came with his army. The Arabs had never seen elephants before. They've heard of camels, but not elephants. And so fighting with the elephants was a very different battle, very difficult one. And so what they did is that they emptied and vacated the haram. We don't want to fight with the elephant. And Abdul Muttalib said something that is also recorded in the books of history. That you have taken my camels, I want it back because I am the owner. So people said to him, what kind of a Qurayshi are you? What kind of a leader are you? That you are not bothered about the haram, the Kaaba. So he said, no, I am Rabbul Ibil, I am the Malik of the camels, so I have to look after them. And the one who is the Rabb of the house of Allah, Kaaba, the Rabb of Kaaba, he will look after the Kaaba. He will look after the Kaaba. Sometimes what you have to do is retreat. What is it? To retreat, to go back, to turn back. And we see this a lot of times also. Even in Afghanistan, many years back, Mullah Umar Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayhi, Allah give him Jannah. And he says, no, let's step back, get back into the mountains, everyone disperse. And they were wondering, what kind of a strategy is this? But subhanallah, Allah has His planning also. وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ Sometimes you will see this in history. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to go and perform Umrah, Sulh Hudaybiyah. But then he had to turn back, and he went back, remember the story historically? So he didn't perform his Umrah that year. He went back. So there is nothing wrong sometimes when you take a step back. It is victory for you. And that is what the Quran says. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. O my Nabi, your strategy to return back is a clear victory for you. And so he also stepped back. He says, no, no. But khair, what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the Kaaba by birds. And this is mentioned in Surah Fil. And the entire army was destroyed. Khatam. All of them were killed. And that is the year Amul Fil. In that year, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born. So when you actually read the books of history, the year in which Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam was born is Amul Fil, the year of the elephants. So Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an was born 6 years after Amul Fil. 6 years after this event. That is the time he was born. And he is considered to be amongst the early converts to Islam. The very first batch that embraced Islam. And that is the barakat again due to his pious company. You know, it all goes back to your pious company. You have good friends, you will become something. And in your surrounding, your circle, the people that you group up with are not people who are well-mannered and people who have the right character, then this will most definitely influence you. Allah save us. Especially nowadays. Hame to hamari aulad ke liye ro ro kar dua mangni padti hai bhai. As we enter this time of fitna, great fitna that is in front of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Hazrat Uthman, even in Jahiliyyah, was considered to be a noble man who would never drink alcohol, which was very rare to find. A man of noble character and very selective in his company. Very selective. And his best friend was Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. Subhanallah. Ho gaya kaam. Kaam ho gaya bhai. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. And Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, we know that after Hazrat Khadijatul Kubra, he is the first man to accept Islam at the hands of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After Hazrat Khadija, because Hazrat Khadija was the wife. Naturally, being a wife, she is very close to Huzur alayhi salam. And she will do exactly what the husband will do. And so Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Masha Allah, the minute he accepts Islam, he turns to his business partner. He turns to his business partner. Both of them were great business people. And he said to Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, that don't you see something strange in our community, what our people are doing, the people of Makkah? What they are doing. And he said, why don't you listen to a man whose name is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and what he is inviting us to. And so already Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an had slightly pushed the door of his heart open, making entry into it. So he took him to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he says, O Nabi of Allah, and remember this was in the days, all of these things were done very, very privately, very quietly, discreetly, in the early days. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam spoke to Hazrat Uthman and said to him, Uthman, you are a businessman, a nobleman. I am inviting you to Jannah. I am inviting you that you take ownership to paradise, Jannah, by coming back, reverting to Millate Ibrahimi. Remember, in Makkah Mukarrama, there was a time when everyone was of Tawheed, because Ibrahim alayhi salam had established the Kaaba there. And the name of Ibrahim alayhi salam was so famous that even in India, people who followed Ibrahim alayhi salam were known as Brahman. What were they known as? Brahman. And this Brahman was a name that was taken after Ibrahim alayhi salam. But later on, shirk entered into society. This is the problem. Shaitan opens the door. It doesn't take long, my respected brothers. From one generation to the next generation, it can be chalk and cheese. That is the difference. Just a few days I was sitting with the children, and I said to my children, I said, Alhamdulillah, at least you speak your mother tongue. But what about my grandchildren? What about my grandchildren? Mere bacche to alhamdulillah hamari madri zaban bolte hain, alhamdulillah. If they were to go anywhere in the world, in India, meet their family members without any issue, they can fluently speak their mother tongue. But what about the youth? See, this all goes back to what we said in Jumu'ah. We will not want other people to change to our lifestyle, but we are so weak, we will change quickly to their lifestyle. I know even Muslims who only use tissue paper to the toilet because of their lifestyle, because of who they hang around with. They are actually shy to eat with their fingers. Inko sharam aati. Sometimes it's very, very difficult, you know, you have to eat everything with fork and knife, but they enjoy it even with fork and knife. Ab kisko tumne khush karna hai fork and knife se? Why is it that we are so quick to change? This is a big, big issue. Big issue. We will change our name. Yesterday there was one Muslim brother, I think he came and he says, my name is Allah forgive me, something Raz or something. So I said, Raz, what kind of a Muslim name is that? And you see, we want to change everything. Everything we wanted that is like the Western culture, the Western way of living. Subhanallah. Look, my respected brothers, there is nothing wrong. Alhamdulillah, what is halal is halal. But the issue is, why are you not proud of who you are? Why are you not proud of your mother tongue? Why not? Why are you not proud of your Gujarati? If you're a Gujarati, why are you not proud of who you are? If you are speaking Urdu, Punjabi, Bengali or any other language, why are you not proud of where you come from? Subhanallah al-Azim. And you will see, we want to change everything. And parents, a lot of the times, they are at fault. They will take their child, who's very young, to the barbers. I'll say, can you put his initials, eh? What is his name? Muhammad Yusuf. M-M-Y. Toh bichara barber, you know, the barber was telling me. So when I go to the barbers, you know, my barber and Umar's barber is the same, eh? By the way, for you people to know. Am I right, Umar sir? Yeah, yeah. He always talks about Umar to me. But I don't talk about Umar to him. So I just give him the head and he says, Mauli sahab, kya? I says, whatever design you want to do, do. However you want to do, do. Kuch baal to hai nahi. Ab one karna hoke, do karna hoke, zero. Don't make no difference. But young children, parents will go M-Y. And you are spoiling your children from a young age. When you are spoiling your children from a young age, and you give them, he's not even baligh and you give him a mobile phone as a gift. He's not even baligh, namaz is not farz on him. You've given him the worst thing that you can give. There are two things today in this world, Allah save us, that throws a person straight into Jahannam. Mobile phone, and mobile friend. Kya hai? Mobile phone and your friend. Inko yaad rakho. Friend and phone. These are the two things that will break your marriage. These are the two things that will not allow you to be educated. These are the two things that will stop you, that will be a hindrance, that will be an obstacle from your achievement. Your phone and your friend. Wallahi, don't read tahajjud. Even if you can't read 1 hour of Quran, no problem. But if you can take control of your phone and friend, khatam. You are the best person. Phone and friend. And until we don't understand this, it's going to be very, very difficult, unfortunately. You will have to put your head into the mouth of a crocodile. And if you come out, you come out. Otherwise, when you're in the clutches and in the mouth of a crocodile, it's very rare for anyone to survive. Allah save us. Ye phone. Bahut bari bimari. Bahut bari bimari. And I'm only saying it as a well-wisher. Wallahi, mujhe kya hai, aapko kya hai, we are one. We are one ummah. Your child is my child is your child. Your daughter is my daughter and my daughter is your daughter. Your sisters are my sisters. Your brothers are my brothers. We are one ummah. Some takleef comes to you, it should hit me in my heart. If I am crying, you should be crying. If you are crying, I should be crying. We are an ummah. We are one family. It's very, very difficult, my respected brothers. But here we see the best of friend that you could have was Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. Kaam ho gaya. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq took him and gave him Jannat. What did he do? Gave him Jannat. What a man. Without wasting time, immediately, not even for 1 week, he accepted Shahada, he knew the responsibility. No, I have to take my friend. And I am only a friend. A friend is that person who is thinking about you, that how will this person be with me also in Jannat. Otherwise today, friends, your friendship is based on money. If he's got money, he's my friend. If he's got something, he's my friend. There is always this sinister agenda. There is no khulus, sincerity. But why are you close to me? What is there inside you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. And then both of them, what did they decide? That we have to work internally amongst the elite people in Arabia. And it is Hazrati Uthman and Hazrati Abu Bakr that worked with the other companions to embrace Islam, and most of them became from the Ashare Mubashara. What was it? Ashare Mubashara. If you come for Dars, you could phone your friend and say, no, no, I'm coming alone. You know what? My friends should benefit. Talk to them nicely. You know what? Why not? Why can't we go for Dars? Chalo yaar. One person will bring one person. That person will listen to the bayan. And if he listens and he starts doing dua, if he starts reciting the Quran, if he changes his life, can you imagine? Every good deed that he does is transferred to you. This is what you call a business mindset. Business mind. But we don't do that. We don't have the time. Ye bichare jamaat tabligh wale karte hain, gasht karte hain. Kya karte hain? Gasht karte hain. Gasht bhi karo aur majlis mein bhi baitho. Alhamdulillah. Sit for taaleem. Alhamdulillah. Sit in the bayans of the ulama. Sit and listen. These are things that are very, very important. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq is working with the people, and this great man, subhanallah, who is the son-in-law to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And you know what is amazing? When we look at the halat of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, sometimes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave individual companions glad tidings of Jannah. Like Ashare Mubashara, individuals were given glad tidings of Jannah. Badareen were given glad tidings also. And sometimes Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would inform them of how they will die from this dunya. How they will depart from this dunya. This is called mu'jiza. Nobody actually knows when your death will come or how your death will come. But Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam sometimes said to his companions, and imagine if Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said something to you or something to any one of us, that this is going to happen to you, they knew that this is 100%. So on one occasion, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was on the mountain of Uhud. The mountain of Uhud in Medina Munawwara is this very beautiful, huge mountain which we make ziyarat of, where Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an is. And if you get an opportunity, you should also climb the mountain. So the mountain is also towards, it's a stretch at the back. And so Allah's Nabi was climbing the mountain, and where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam would put his step, the mountain started to shake. The mountain started to shake. This shaking of the mountain was not earthquake. It was out of joy and happiness that a Nabi is on top of me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is on top of me. This ihsas, this understanding was given also to the mountain of Uhud. And that is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that this mountain Uhud, Jabalun yuhibbuna wa nuhibbuhu. This mountain Uhud loves me and we love this mountain. And scholars have mentioned that Jabal Uhud, this mountain, will also be in Jannah because of its love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Imagine if stones and mountains and rocks could show love for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What a pity if we can't show love to our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so when it started to shake, it was quite difficult for some of the companions to walk. You can imagine that. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam spoke to the mountain of Uhud. This is what you call miracle, a mu'jiza. And he said, Uthbut Uhud, Uthbut ya Uhud. Stay calm, Uhud, take it easy. Don't shake too much. Why? Don't shake too much. It was overexcited. You know, when you're overexcited, subhanallah, to calm you sometimes it can be very, very difficult. So Allah's Nabi is saying, calm yourself. Uthbut. Why? He said, Alayka nabiyun wa siddiqun wa shahidan. Here, this is something amazing. Imam Bukhari has mentioned. Allah's Nabi gave information here to his very close companions. He says, Uhud, stay calm, because on top of you is a Nabi and a Siddiq. So when we say Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, we say it because these are the words of our Nabi. Allah's Nabi called him a Siddiq. That on top of you is a Nabi and a Siddiq. Then with him, he said, and wa shahidan, and there are two martyrs on top of you. What did he say? Two martyrs. Now can you imagine when you are young and Allah's Nabi is already giving you glad tidings that the two of you are going to become shaheed. And who were the two? Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an and Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala an. And what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said exactly, both of them were martyred. Both of them became shaheed. So we see sometimes Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also gave information to the companions how they will depart from this dunya. And this is the mu'jiza of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala an, a very, very unique and a special sahabi who became shaheed on the 18th of Zilhijjah. What is the date today? 20. Umar Farooq is confirming. Is it the 30th of July? No, that's not the Islamic date. Usne dekh liya, 20th Zilhijjah. You to bahut hushyar hai ye bhai, bahut hushyar. 20th of Zilhijjah. On Wednesday, Hazrat became shaheed. I wanted to talk about this on Wednesday, but I said no, it's better in our English group of people, so at least we are connected to some history. And he is the only man from Hazrat Adam alayhi salam until the day of Qiyamah to be given this privilege, this unique honor that is given to nobody else but Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala an. And this is the title that we give him, Dhunnurain, the man who has two noors, two lights. Kitni lights hai? Two lights. Dhunnurain, why? Because he got married to the daughter of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Ruqayya. Bole Hazrat Ruqayya. A lot of people say, what should we name our daughter? Ruqayya is a very beautiful name. And Ruqayya is the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Hazrat Ruqayya, subhanallah, she got married, and the scholars say that in Arabia, it was something very ajeeb with Hazrat Uthman and the daughters of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were considered to be the best couples. They were considered to be the best couples and the most beautiful couples. Nowadays, in the modern world, we call the best couples those who outwardly look a bit handsome and the woman looks a bit pretty, and they say, oh, you know, perfect couples. Ye hero or ye heroine. Ye hero or ye heroine. Perfect couples. But only Allah knows the truth of the perfect couples inside the house. You don't make yourself perfect just because how you look and your looks and how your wife is and how you look and the clothes that you are wearing. You become good couples by good character. What is it? When two people have beauty in character and understanding with one another, then mashallah, they are very beautiful couples. And believe me, nowadays to find the right daughter for your son and for your daughter, the right son-in-law and the right daughter-in-law is jihad fi sabilillah. What is it? Jihad fi sabilillah. Really. Very difficult. Very difficult. Allah save us. Why? Because, again, the mindset is not Islamic. The mindset is the Western mind. Sorry, I'm saying very openly. Forgive me. I have children. I pray for my children. I pray for your children. I pray for the Ummah. You pray for the Ummah. We all have. But the mindset is a Western mindset. Our thinking is that mindset. There's no sabr, competition. Why should I do this? Who are you to tell me? I can't do this, you do that. Get away, no sabr. Your mom's like that, your father's like that, your sisters are like that. And he's saying, no, you are like that. You are. Allahu Akbar. It's like dogs that are barking in the house. What are they? Dogs that are barking in the house. That is how people are fighting today. When you don't have Islam, when you don't have an understanding, when you think you are only right, bas, everything should happen what I want. A woman does not understand that the husband is the amir of the house, and qanitat, you obey your husband. What is it? Simple, you obey your husband. That doesn't mean that you are going under your status. No, in fact, you are getting very high. The more you will listen to your husband, the more your husband will love you and respect you. Hayyan, Allah will give him khawf when you are doing it for the pleasure of Allah. So they were the best couples. Hazrat Ruqayya and Hazrat Uthman. Came the day of Badr and everyone wanted to participate the first battle in Islam. Everyone wanted to be part of this. Hazrat Ruqayya became very ill. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Hazrat Uthman that you don't come, you look after Hazrat Ruqayya. This tells you how important it is for a husband to look after the wife. There is no greater honor in the world than the battle of Badr. Than the battle of Badr. But look at the rights in Islam. Hukukul Ibad. How Islam keeps that balance. That if there is something in your family, then you should attend to them first. So there is an issue, your wife is not well, look after her first. And Allah's Nabi said, although Uthman was in Medina Munawwara, but Allah will give him the full reward of participating in the battle of Badr because of his intention. And look at the shan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the world that we live in. In our street, across the road, there is nikah and people are rejoicing. And in front, someone has passed away and people are crying and the janazah is being lifted up. This is dunya. That here you are rejoicing and here you are crying. This is dunya. This is the reality. This is how dunya works. Here, the Muslims are victorious. They are coming and returning back to Medina Munawwara so happy. Only 313 they gave a defeat to the mushrikeen of Makkah. And as they are returning in Medina Munawwara, Hazrat Uthman has already buried the daughter, Hazrat Ruqayya, the wife of Hazrat Uthman, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Uthman, I have another daughter, Umme Kulthum. Umme Kulthum. Another very beautiful name. Get married to Umme Kulthum. Ruqayya passes away. Now he is marrying another daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why he is unique in a way that there is no man that has been given this honor to have married two daughters of a Nabi, not at all. Musa alayhi salam married one daughter of a Nabi, Shu'aib alayhi salam. Shu'aib alayhi salam's daughter. But for someone to marry two daughters of the greatest Nabi, now imagine how special he must be, that there were so many companions, but Allah chose him to marry two daughters. And the Shias call him a kafir. I say it openly. There is nothing to hide. Why should I hide when it is written in your books? And this is your aqidah and this is your belief. You have no shame. You have no shame. You don't like Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. In the 80s, early 80s, I was sitting in Masjid-e-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And at that time, Masjid-e-Nabawi was very different to what we see now. This is going back in the early 80s. So, here you had Ashab-e-Suffa, this high platform, where, alhamdulillah, people would sit and read Quran even after Fajr. And so it was after Fajr and I was praying namaz and next to me was a person who put a stone in front of the musalla and he was praying namaz. So when I looked at the stone, I picked it up and I put it on the side. So he finished his namaz quickly and he says, "What are you doing?" I said, "What are you doing?" He's speaking in Arabic. He said, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" "It's my duty to keep the masjid clean." "What is it?" "My duty is to keep the masjid clean and to keep it free from shirk." "Why are you doing sajda on a stone? Are you an idol worshipper?" He said, "La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Madha taqul? What are you talking about? This is the stone of Karbala. This is the stone of Karbala." I said, "Is the stone of Karbala of a higher status than the soil of Medina Munawwara? Than the soil of Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" Anyway, when he knew that this Maulana is a hard nut to crack. Koi wo khichri wala maulvi to nahi tha ye. Samosa khichri wala maulvi. It's not that. I'm not that. Alhamdulillah, I'm not that. Mere andar to kuch pathano wala khoon hai bhai, I don't know. I'll have to ask my dad what happened. You know. But I said, "What are you doing?" I knew exactly. And I wanted to get to the bottom of this, to meet in my lifetime a real Shia and to come face to face with him and to talk with him that who they are. So now he started talking to me and he says, no, don't worry. I says, "No, you know what? I have a good mind to report you to the police here." And he says, no, don't, please don't. I am a Saudi citizen. I says, "Oh, you're a Saudi citizen, then you should know you can't be doing this. Why are you doing this?" She says, "Oh, okay." So I says, "Okay, anyway, let's talk." So we started talking, and he says, "Oh, you come from England? How is it? You are a Muslim?" I said, "Yes, I don't know why people think if you come from England, you're not a Muslim for some reason. Even in India, sometimes when you go to India, some places, you say you're from England, they say, no, you can't be from England. But kya kare? Then I stop saying I'm from England. I just say I'm from Africa. Where is it? Okay, no, you don't look like an African. Then I said, sorry, I'm from India. Go back to your grandfathers. So when you say you're from India, they get happy. Anyway, I said to him, I said, "Look, you know what? Let's go out of the masjid we've been talking now after Fajr, and it is time for Ishraq. It is time for Ishraq. So we prayed Ishraq and says, you know what, this is a lovely time for us to go to Jannatul Baqi. And this was my plan, to take him to Jannatul Baqi. So he says, yeah, let's go. So we went to Jannatul Baqi. And so as you enter Jannatul Baqi, there you have the family of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So both of us, a Sunni and a Shia, both of us, we are praying Fatiha and making dua for Raf'i Darajat of the Ahle Bayt. Ahle Bayt are there. Alhamdulillah, all the family and the daughters of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then I says, mashallah, you know, let's go forward. So he says, where are you taking me? I says, you know, there at the far end, that grave, what did you say? Usman radiallahu ta'ala and bolo. So, I says, there at the far end, that is the grave of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. And you see the color of his face. A person who's holding a Saudi passport, and who's praying in Masjid-e-Nabwi. Can you imagine? Allah gave Hazrat Uthman two daughters of the greatest Nabi, despite that your intellect does not nag at you that how wrong am I in talking about this great man. I said to him, let's go. And I was holding his hand, I said, let's go. He goes, no, I can't come there. I said, why? I says, you know your true colors, is it true that you people don't believe in Hazrat Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an? So he says, no, it's not like, I said, look, be straight with me. And that's the problem with people. And I said to him, I remember, I said, tell me, Khomeini, you know of Khomeini, Ayatollah, who was in France, and he toppled the Shah, and I says, do you like Khomeini more than Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq? Straight question. And you know what he said to me? He says, Mr. Muhammad, Khomeini cannot even be compared. Even you are better than Hazrat Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman. Oh ho! Tawbah, astaghfirullah. My respected brothers, our ulama are not your enemy. Don't for one minute think that it is the ulama who instigate hatred, and that the ulama are the people who start all these, you know, fitna that is out there. No, it is the ulama that protect your iman. Like how doctors can protect you, ulama protect your iman by telling you what is right and what is wrong. And he said this to me. And that is the time I remembered. Maulana is my class fellow here. And what our ustaz were telling us in Darul Uloom. It was quite hard to believe that how is it that anybody could have hatred for sahaba? How? But wallahi, you find people like them today. And the thing with this community is that they have this fundamental principle, and that is called taqiyya. Taqiyya means that if you lie in front of a Sunni person of your aqeedah, you get double the sawab because you are fooling him. This is the only denomination, the only religion that makes it legal and lawful for a person to lie. Otherwise, I have not come across, Allama Khalid Mahmood Saab says also, we have not heard of anyone that says lying is good. But besides them. But anyway, this goes back. But I just thought I'll tell you that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you are getting married to my daughter Umme Kulthum. When he got married to the daughter Umme Kulthum, after a while she also passed away. And then amazing what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to the companions. He said, listen to me. If I had 100 daughters, I would be happy with Uthman to give him one by one my daughter. And he said to the companions, you also give your daughter to him. This is Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. The martyr, the shaheed. In the month of Zilhijjah, the 18th of Zilhijjah. And Allah had blessed him. Kitne baje hai azan exactly? 9:03. Exact hai na Umar sahab, bas. To, the most important character that was in Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an is a quality which was the main tabiat, the main character of a Nabi. And that is haya. That is haya. To have shame, sharmu haya, bashfulness, to have sharam, which is very important. And he had so much haya from the companions, it is said that no one had haya like Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. Allah bless us with haya. And that is why today you will find that the main agenda of the world today is to remove and eliminate haya from people. Haya. Once haya is out from people, then they don't care. They don't care. They don't think that am I talking to my father, the imam, my mother, because they've got no sharam. They don't know how to talk. They don't realize. Because they have been influenced. So on one occasion, Allah's Nabi had a majlis. Hazrat Abu Bakr was there, Hazrat Umar was there, and it was a very informal gathering, and Huzur alayhi salam had his legs crossed and sitting and talking with the two companions. So Hazrat Aisha was also there. And someone knocked at the door and they said, Hazrat Uthman wants to come in. And this was always the pattern, Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman. So he says, wait, before Uthman comes, Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam sat upright, got in this very formal position. Everybody, Hazrat Abu Bakr also got sitting properly, everything. Hazrat Aisha is observing. So when Hazrat Uthman came and after the majlis, she says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I saw something very ajeeb. When Hazrat Abu Bakr Umar was there, you were free, very informal, sitting, relaxed. But when Hazrat Uthman came, so he said that my Uthman has got too much sharam inside him. Even if we are sat relaxed in this manner with the legs stretched, he will feel uncomfortable. Now imagine the level of haya. And he said that even the angels have haya of Uthman, so why should I not have haya from Uthman? This natural level of haya was in him. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha started to smile. She started to smile. So haya is very important. I say to my mothers and sisters that are listening at home also, this is the most beautiful feature of a woman. The most beautiful feature of a woman. It also beautifies a man, but in a woman, it is nurun ala nur. What is it? Nurun ala nur. Because a man has to do a lot of things. A woman, nurun ala nur. And another very important feature of this great man is sakhawat. And just to inform you, business acumen. Business acumen. You know, you have to be a good businessman. A lot of people, when they do some investment, it doesn't work. So to be business-minded is very important also. And Hazrat Uthman was very business-minded. Very business-minded. There was an issue in Medina Munawwara. There was only sweet water that was coming from a well that was known as Roma, Bire Roma. But it was owned by the local Jews there. And the Jews were very crafty, you know that. And they're also great business-minded people. Now Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said something to Hazrat Uthman. In fact, a general announcement. And Hazrat Uthman, being a businessman, knew how to, you know, work his way around. So because he was a businessman, people knew him. So he had a meeting with this man. And he says, look, you know what? Give this well to me. And you can use this well free of charge. And I will pay any amount for this well. What is it? What is he saying? Blank? Blank check. You know, we think we are wealthy. Blank check. Any amount. I will give you, you say the amount. He was a very crafty man, very clever man. He wanted money and he wanted ownership. What did he want? Money and ownership. He says, no, no. I will make a deal with you. He says, what? 50% of the well I will give you. And 50% the well I give you, out of goodwill you must pay me the money. And the money he is going to charge is like as if he gave the whole beer to him. So he goes, 50% of the well you take and 50% I own. And how is that going to be? Very simple. One day the well belongs to you and one day the well belongs to me. So he thought that, you know what, the day that it belongs to me, I will start selling this water to the people in Medina. So I'm still making money. So Hazrat Uthman had a plan, says no problem. Okay. So he gave him the money. Now he thought Hazrat Uthman is a businessman also. But the mind of a Muslim is very different because they love Allah. And a Muslim gives for the pleasure of Allah. Nobody can do that. People need to use lottery money, bank money, interest money. But a Muslim gives it lillah. What does he do? Part of Allah. That's why the most generous in the world today are the Muslims. No doubt. Ye koi tumhara ilon bilon kuch bhi nahi. Kya? Most generous. So anyway, Hazrat Uthman makes an alan that by from tomorrow this water well belongs to me, next day it is that person's, then the day after is yours. Whenever it is my turn, I am giving you water free. And Hazrat Uthman is trapping him. So now all of the people of Medina, Muslims, non-Muslims, are using that water. And slowly after a few weeks, there is no one coming when it's his turn. And nobody is buying water for him, from him. He thought that he is going to be clever, but more clever than him was who? Uthman. Hazrat Uthman wanted to make sure that he comes back to me and says, you buy the well now totally. So in a few days he came, he says, oh, Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, and you know what, can you do me one favor? Can you also buy the 50% share now? And Hazrat Uthman said, gladly. And Hazrat Uthman bought 50%. Here he gave it to this ummah, and there Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is giving him Jannah. Giving him Jannah. How many times Jannat was given to this great Sahabi, Hazrat Uthman, Allahu Akbar. Bire Roma Jannat given to him. Masjid-e-Nabwi, Allah's Nabi said once to the companions that there is a plot of land. If we can have that land, buy that land, we can make an extension of the masjid. Who will buy that land that Allah will give him a land in Jannah? Hazrat Uthman, Ya Radiyallahu Anhu. The land is bought. Never looked at the price. Never looked. Hazrat Abu Bakr also. Same attitude. Whatever Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted. Hazrat Uthman, take it. And the extension was done of Masjid Nabawi. Of that purchase came from Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. And Allah's Nabi gave him also Jannah. Battle of Tabuk. 40,000 Muslims. A very serious affair here. And a serious battle. And Allah's Nabi wanted everyone who was Baligh to be recruited for this battle and to join the army. Even if he was young. If he could fight, he must fight. Because the enemies were in high numbers. Muslims were takriban 40,000. And Allah's Nabi started doing chanda. Hazrat Uthman says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will sponsor 10,000 mujahideen. How many? 10,000 in one majlis. Will give them everything that is necessary. Everything from the reins that is holding and controlling that animal. Everything, a saddle, weapons, you name it, everything is given. 10,000 will be given from me. And then he gave 1,000 camels in Tabuk. What is it? Camels. Then he gave horses, Arabian horses. It was not enough. And this is the same battle, Tabuk, where there was a competition between Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar. Hazrat Abu Bakr gave 100% of his wealth. Hazrat Umar gave 50% of his wealth. And Hazrat Umar started to cry. This story is here at Tabuk. And then he came with a bag full of dirhams and dinar. And he gave it to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah's Nabi turned that bag upside down and the money fell. And Allah's Nabi was smiling, subhanallah, that Allah has given me blessed souls like Hazrat Uthman. And the words that came out from his mouth, ajeeb. Muhaddiseen, the kalam they do, Allah's Nabi said that from now on, nothing, no action can harm my Uthman. No action is going to harm my Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. This sahabi passed away, shahadat, 18th of Zilhijjah. It was Yawmul Jumu'ah, and he woke up and he said to his wife that today I am going to go, and he was fasting, and he says, give me the Quran, I'm going to pray. And he said, I have seen a dream. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his ashab were saying to me, Uthman, we have prepared iftari for you. We have prepared iftari for you. And we are waiting for you. And Hazrat Uthman, when the munafiqeen again, when they entered, they came. And he did not want to spill blood in Medina Munawwara. And they came and they attacked him whilst he was praying the Quran. And the blood spilt also. The verses were, Fasayakfikahumullah. That on your behalf Allah is kafi. And this is how he became shaheed. But this shahadat was foretold and glad tidings was given on the mountain of, which mountain? The mountain of Uhud. And by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.